What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and direct your attention to Psalm 78. And before we read, whenever you get there, just please say amen. Whenever you get there. All right. Amen. Just go ahead and give you that warning. We're going to go to also 1 Kings 17 and 4 after Psalm 78 and 19. Amen. If you have it, please say amen. Amen. The Bible clearly declares, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Amen. Now let's go to 1 Kings 17 and 4. If you have it, please say amen. If not, please say wait. I will do that. Amen. Amen. My translation is a little bit different. I'm coming from the New King James Version. I know we have different a plethora of versions in the house today. Amen. But I'm coming out of New King James Version that declares, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Amen. Real quick and real simple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to distribute your word. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you would lay your hands on us. Lord, lay your hands on our mind, Lord God, that the capacity of our mind, Lord God, would be expanded, Lord God, to receive from you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. Father, we thank you, Lord God, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome to do whatever you want to do. And this we pray, and this we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. Amen. Man, I'm about to reiterate what today's lesson is about. We're concluding. No, this is not concluding. This is next to the conclusion. Part four of Breakthrough to Blessing. Just to let you know that God can. Not what God can do, but God can. God can. It's today's assignment is relatively easy. Reason being is because all through last year and all through this year, most of the words that have been released to stir your faith or to get you to believe. Because whenever we're in worship service or whenever we're praising and a prophetic word is declared, all that is needed is the ingredient of faith. Amen. When Jesus was here on earth, the problem that he had with different people in different regions was the level of their faith. Amen. So today what we're going to do is we're going to encourage you that even though that you're in the wilderness, which is a place where you have to trust God to supply. Some of us may not be in our wilderness yet, but you're going there because due to the fact that that's how it's set up. That's how God set it up. Amen. If God did not set you up to go through a wilderness, then you will never learn the importance of not having anything. Amen. There will be no gratitude unto God if he did not set you up a process called wilderness. Amen. In the wilderness, Israel had to believe him for food, water, clothing, and protection. Because in the wilderness, it's pretty much like a desert. It's barren. You have nothing. So the children of Israel had to trust God. God brought them. This is how awesome God is. God was, if I could just say it like this, y'all just follow me, okay? God was the all-star quarterback. He played on both sides of helping Israel. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he also caused the people of Israel to prosper through the plagues that he sent by the hand of Moses. Amen. Amen. So what happened was when Pharaoh finally let them go, they came to the wilderness, and after they did all that believing with Moses and Aaron, they began to murmur and complain, And a lot of that's kind of like us sometimes. Whenever we hang on to the word of God, whenever God says something and it's accurate, we hold on to it. But once we get to that place where we have to be processed, it's like we begin to murmur and we begin to complain and we begin to stop and we begin to rewind and think about things that we used to do back in Egypt instead of focusing on the fact that there's promised land ahead of us. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. One of the things that we must realize about being in the place called wilderness is the fact that it is not a stopping place, but a stepping stone to get you to the right place at the right time to receive the blessing, miracle, and or breakthrough for your life. It is not a stopping place. When you get to the wilderness, that's supposed to be the place where you get focused. That's supposed to be the place where you come to the place of prayer. That's supposed to be the place where you come to your place of fasting. That's supposed to be the place where you read about God more. You want to learn about God more, and you develop an ongoing and consistent hunger and a thirst for Him. For the Bible declares that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be
filled.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah and Elisha lived in a time of famine and thus learned the lessons of provision. There are going to be times of famine in your life. There's not in the sense of how it was back then. Sometimes you won't have the money in your pocket. Sometimes you won't have the food to put it on the table. Sometimes your hours may get cut. Hello. Sometimes your hours may get cut. Amen. And you may not have the right money to do what you want to do. But in that time and in that place of famine, it does not stop your trust in God. It does not stop you from continuing on in faith in God. But it's a place to push you. You got to let stuff push you. Sometimes you got to let it not. Don't let the devil push you. Don't let the devil beat up on you and bully you. But you got to let certain problems and certain circumstances that the devil sends your way by the permission of God to push you to the place where God wants you to be. Amen. God, what can God do? God can spread a table in the wilderness. Amen. When Elijah fled before the face of Ahab and Jezebel, God told him to go to the wilderness. Amen. Elijah obeyed God and went into the wilderness, hiding from Ahab and Jezebel. And God commanded ravens to feed him twice a day. Ravens. Big black birds. Big birds, they're compared to crows. They're compared to crows. They're one of the largest birds, amen, in the world. But other than the eagle. But we're talking about the raven. Amen. Commanded ravens. Amen. One of the meanings prophetically or spiritually of ravens. Ravens are actually pet birds of witches. Amen. They witches use them to be able to, I guess, read what's going on, because you know they send these birds, amen, and they get all the information that the bird has obtained from where they sent the bird, amen, amen. Your supply will be at the place called there, as long as you are where God wants you to be. He obligates Himself to provide. As long as you are in the place called there. Where does God want you? There. Where does God need you? There. Where is there? In the house of God. In His plan. In His will. In His way. In His word. Amen. That way he has to abide by His word. If we follow His word, He has no choice but to bless us. That's one of the things that we forget. Whenever we abide by the principles and the statutes and the precepts of the word of God, God has to bless us. Whenever there's a consistent practice every day, because we start and stop, and then we start and stop, and then we start and then stop, and then we start and stop, and then like we get partial of what we ask God for. You know what I found out? God has been waiting on us. Period. God has been waiting on us. This year, God, even though God is moving, he's waiting on us to move with Him. Was it not declared, amen, that God is calling His people to co-create with Him? meaning that when he created you, he created you with the power to be able to form your own world. Amen. Do we remember that? Amen. So I'm not talking about y'all visitors. I'm talking about City of Judah. Amen. Amen. Bless God for our visitors today. Bless you all. Amen. After a while, if we look in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17, amen, when y'all get there, amen. After a while, the brook dried up in verse 7. And what you have to understand is you cannot expect the same sources and resources to last forever, not in the wilderness. But in order for you to experience and live in the new, there has to be a passing away of the old. In order for us to experience a new life in God, in order for us to experience new levels in God, in order for us to even not only in the spirit but also in the natural, to be able to manage your money, to be able to live the practical side of this thing, because everything has been focused so much on the spiritual to where it's gotten so deep and confusing. Amen. Amen. that's why there has to be a sound systematic teaching, not only that comes from the pulpit, but comes from you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to teach you. That way you will be able to effectively apply the principles that God wants to give you. Because sometimes whenever you come here, more than likely what you learn throughout the week from the Holy Spirit is going to be confirmed here. So what happens when we don't study and we don't obtain the principles that God wants to give us on a daily basis, or even to live? You stop. Instead of a consistency or a going with you, you stop. And what we have to do, we have to continue to get that word on the inside of us. Because the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by that out of. So if you're not in a place to where God can hear you, if you're not in a place where you can hear God, then there's a pause. And what happens when you don't know there's a pause? There's a prophetic utterance that comes from God's vessels to press play on your life. That way you can continue in the will of God. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. You have to be ready to move when the resources are gone, because often God guides by drying up the resources. Amen. God guides by drying up the resources. God intentionally dries up certain relationships and certain fellowships that you have with certain people, that way you can move on. Amen. In the process of wilderness, you cannot stay in one place. Amen. Whenever the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they did not stay in one place. They moved. Amen. It took them 40 years, but they moved. Thank you, Jesus. It took them a while, but they moved. God uses simple things and simple people to provide. The widow was willing to let God make her a channel of blessing to Elijah. In verse 9 of 1 Kings 17. Amen. The widow showed her willingness by obeying the prophet, and in doing so, she put into use the principle of sowing and reaping that made way for her meal barrel to never run dry. She obeyed the voice of the prophet. She was getting ready to bake cake for her and her son, and they were about to die. But Elijah said, bake the cake for me. Bake it for me. And when she did, it kept running. The principle of sowing and reaping. Amen. So many people have totally despised giving offering in churches, simply because they don't have a clear understanding of it. Some because we have so many people, leaders, and I'm not disclosing any names or being subliminal or anything like that, but we have certain people that are greedy in the pulpit. So whenever they call for an offering, they have to do certain things in order to get more money out your pocket. But at the same time, that is why we have the word. The word is solid. The word is solid, and the Bible declares that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever you sow $5, whenever you sow $20, whenever you sow $30, $100, or $1,000, or anything like that, God looks at that and He honors that. And once you have sown that in faith and you've been led by the Holy Spirit, God moves on your behalf. It's not just in your bank. It's not just in your bank. It's in every area of your life. You might need a little bit more faith. You might need a little bit more capacity to obtain the word of God. You may need a little bit more revelation for you to prosper. And God sees that, so all He's looking for is for you to put it on the seed. God can reverse the curse. Amen. It's found in 2 Kings 2, 19 through 22. It speaks about Jericho, and Jericho was a cursed city. The water supply had become polluted, and the crops would not grow. What Satan seeks to do and desires to do is to poison your environment, to introduce you to a harmful element into your business, your neighborhood, or your family that ruins your productivity. Somebody say productivity. We have to be productive. We had too much of years of unproductivity that therefore have left us behind. So now that we have picked up the ball of productivity, we have to catch up. That's why we have to, that word consistency won't leave me. That's why we have to stay consistent in the things of God. That way we can catch up to where God wants us to be. Elijah focused on the source of poison and purified it with salt. If you have allowed Satan access to your finances through bitterness, withholding from God, theft, or deception, there is a curse that must be reversed. Salt, when Elijah used the salt was the original method used to purify a wound, meaning in the sense it was used as medicine, and it represents repentance and grace. How many thank God for the privilege of being able to repent? How many thank God for grace? Hallelujah. Because if it wasn't for the privilege that God had given us to repent, we'd have been in hell a long time ago. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd have been already backslidden already a long time ago, because grace is not an excuse, but it's an empowerment to keep you from sinning. Grace is not an excuse, but an empowerment to keep you from sinning. Amen. God can stretch your resources. Amen. It's found in 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44. Amen. This chapter includes a story about a woman with only a pot of oil. If you look in verse 1 and I think verse 1 through 5 of that chapter, it speaks about the woman whose husband had died, and she had came to the prophet and said that her husband was a, I'm paraphrasing, was a devout servant of the Lord, and she don't, all of her oil, I mean all of what she had, her possessions were gone, and all she had was oil. Amen. As well as in verse 42 and 43, as well, it talks about a story about 100 men with only 20 loaves of bread. Amen. We often find ourselves with insufficient resources for the needs. Sometimes we have insufficient resources. I mean, we got it, but we have some of it. We don't have all of it. I mean, how many been there by show of hands? Amen. Just be honest. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. In both cases, God took what was within their power to give. God took what was within their power to give and stretched it to meet the need. God is looking for you to present unto him what is within your power to give him. For the Bible declares that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that work in us. Meaning, when God blessed you, when God breathed into man became a living soul, right? Amen. When he breathed into man, amen, he breathed his spirit, and his spirit possesses power. So we walking around all day with power in us, and we speaking negative against the power of God that is within us. So all what has to happen is there has to be a shift in your mind. Somebody say shift. Shift. Somebody say it with authority. Shift. Shift. That way what you think and what you speak line up. That way your actions will be able to correspond to the will of God. What you speak is a second conduit of what you think, and what you do is a conduit of what you speak, resulting in the creation of your world. Amen. In both cases, God can restore what the enemy has stolen. It's found in 2 Kings 6:1-7. Amen. Satan is a thief of resources, of money, time, and relationships. How many of us had good relationships and time and money at one time, and then it was snatched away from you? Amen. At one time you felt like you was on top of the world, and the next thing you lower than the earth. Amen. All of that is not God. Because that's what we do. Sometimes some of us, we blame God for where we're at. And sometimes the enemy just went like this. And you think God took it. And God's like, I ain't got it. Amen. We have to be able to use discernment to know that Satan is a thief. That's why that word has to be within us, because that word is a discerner of both the thoughts and the heart. Amen. We have to have that word, that way we can rightly discern what's going on in our life. The reason why people don't know what's going on in their life, because some of them don't have the word, and I'm talking in the sense of the church. Amen. Because everybody out there beyond these four walls don't know the word. And they're looking at us as the example to be able to teach them the word. That way, some of these things that's happening, these addictions and these mindsets and these methods, will be shut down, because now they have come into the knowledge of the word of God. Amen. Satan is a thief of resources, money, time, and relationships. Amen. The axe head, amen, in 2 Kings 6:1-7 was the main tool for their expansion project. It represents your cutting edge, your livelihood. And if Satan can steal your main tool or livelihood, he can shut you down. Like the axe head, lost wages, businesses, values, even also relationships, money, time, and different things that pertain to your livelihood are lost, and they seem gone forever. Amen. But Elisha put a stick, which is a symbol of the cross, into the water. How many thank God for the cross? How many thank God? How many are in gratitude to God for the cross? Amen. Because if he had not died for us, we don't know where we'd be. Amen. We thank God, hallelujah, for him crucifying himself, taking upon himself the cat of nine tails. Amen. Being led, Lord God, to a place of Calvary and stretched out wide and died for us. greater love have no man than this, that he would give up his life for his friend. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. His only begotten son. Did you know how a father feels? Do you know how a father feels to send his son, his only son, to earth to die? The firstborn is the face of the father. Amen. But we thank God that the purpose of him being the face of the father was fulfilled, because when he came here, that's what he showed us. Also with dying for us. Amen. Like the axe head, lost wages, lost businesses, lost value, and lost investments all seem gone forever. But Elisha put a stick into the water, and the axe head rose from the bottom. Amen. Job lost his family. He lost his money, his business, all of that, just to go through a process of wilderness. Amen. He went through all of that just to go through a process of wilderness. And I promise you, Job wasn't a happy camper. Amen. Job had to repent. Amen. Because he fell into a state where it was like, ain't got nothing left. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Naked I came here and naked I shall leave. I ain't got nothing else. This is what I'm just paraphrasing. I ain't got nothing else, though. I'm just, God, I'm with you, but I ain't got nothing else. And that's how we are sometimes. Amen. That's how we are. Sometimes we're like, what else is going to happen? What else worse could happen? But in that moment and in that time, God is looking for you to say, God, I'm with you. I may not have nothing else here, but I got everything with you. God is looking for you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness. We focus on and all these other things will be added, but we forget that first part of scripture. Amen. We need the whole word. We don't need half of it. That's why people living on half of what God says, and they're receiving half of what they're supposed to get, because they're getting taught half word. And we need the whole word. Amen. We need all of it from cover to cover, from Genesis 1 to Revelation. We need all of it. Not a box of scriptures. Amen. Amen. God restored in Job 42 and 10, you don't have to turn there, but God restored double to Jacob, twice more than, I mean to Job, I'm sorry, of what he had. But Satan the thief had to return, according to John 10 and 10, seven times. Did you hear me? God restored twofold to Job. But because Satan tested him, Satan had to return unto Job seven times of what he took. God never intends for you to leave your wilderness empty-handed. You may walk in there empty-handed, but you got to come out with something. You may walk out of there with depression. You may walk in there with depression. You may walk in there pressured, but you got to come out of there with that, with all your burdens, hallelujah, all your yokes removed. You got to come out of there with some fruit in your hand. God sent you through a wilderness to be able to take you out of there, and you'll be able to have fruit and be consistently fruitful and multiply. Somebody give God praise, because you are bearing fruit. You may be going through your wilderness right now, but you are coming out bearing fruit. Hallelujah. All you need is a word to let you know that you are coming out. So many people think that they are staying in the wilderness and they're not coming out. But I've come to decree and declare unto you that you are coming out of your wilderness.
and you will bear fruit. Somebody stand on your feet, open up your mouth, and give God a praise because you are bearing fruit.